Midas, the Shlumei Avah v'Chamisha, that a person can pay Kefel Day, Shemidas, the Shlumei Kefel, the Haggis Beve Dava Sheyesh Baruchayim, the kefil applies to anything that a person steals, whether the object is alive, whether the object is animate or inanimate. Umidas tashlumi abav v'chamisha, whereas the additional penalty of 4 and 5 times, eino heges ela b'shor v'sevel vad, only applies to an ox or to a sheep, and even there it doesn't always apply. It only applies if a person actually shechta tovech u'mocher. So this is the opening line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is presenting for us that the chiyuv tashlumi kefil really is all-encompassing. It applies to any type of act of Geneva. We're going to refer to this distinction as we go on a little bit later, but when we speak about Geneva, we mean in contrast to Gazela. Gazela means somebody who steals up front. They come and I mug you. That's called a Gazela. A Gazela means someone who sneaks into your house in the middle of the night. So only a Gazela pays Kefil. A Gazela does not pay Kefil. So in addition to this halacha of kefil for an actual ganav, the Gemara is going to elaborate upon and tell us a little bit later on in the parak that there's a second type of kefil as well. Somebody who's not quite a ganav, somebody who's called an halacha a toein ta'inas ganav. So toein ta'inas ganav means that I give you an object to watch, and we know there's a whole parsha the shomrim, shom chinam, shom socha, depending on whether you're getting paid, not getting paid, what level of obligation you have. So let's take the simplest case, the case of a shom chinam. I give you something to watch, and you're obligated if you're negligent, so you have to reimburse me. But what if you're not negligent? Something really honestly gets stolen. It wasn't your fault. So comes the Torah and Pashas Mishpatim and says, you don't have to pay. All you have to do is swear that in fact the object was stolen. So you go ahead and you come take it to base it and you swear the object was stolen. It turns out that, yeah, of course it was stolen because you're the one who stole it. So the Torah says that's what's called a Toein Ta'anas Ganav. And a Toein Ta'anas Ganav who swears falsely, if he is subsequently caught and aided him abroad to show that he in fact was the quote-unquote Ganav, then that type of a Ganav also has to pay kefil. So that's already a little bit of a different kind of a Ganav. A regular ganav is a guy who comes in the middle of the night. That's what's called an halacha b'isura asal yadin. I mean, he gets it initially b'isa derech kaneva. Here, the shomer got it that tei asal yadin. He didn't get it derech kaneva, but push comes to shove. At the end of the day, he really turned out to be a ganav. So he's what's called a toein ta'anas ganav. And a toein ta'anas ganav plays kefil. It's basically the same as a ganav. The Gemara learns this out from a whole series of psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. So it's these two halachos of kefil that we're going to focus on a little bit today, the din of kefil for a real ganav, and then this mechudish type of a kefil, this unique type of a kefil for the toein ta'anas ganav. So if we skip down a little bit to the Gemara, where Gemara says shemidas tashlumei kefil no heges, those are following on the Maariv Kamos, so it's towards the end of the first of the Maariv Kamos. Those are following on the Gemara. I really guess you'd have a Gemara, so but see, you got it. Okay, fine. So shemidas tashlumei kefil no heges. How do we know that kefil applies to all types of items? So Gemara quotes the pasuk and says shemos berchadei that kol devar pesha klal. Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Sevi, Al Salma, Prat, Al Kol Aveda, Chazru Klal. It's a classic example of a Klal or Prat. Klal, the first the Torah gives us an all-encompassing phrase, then the Torah starts to give us details, then the Torah concludes with another all-encompassing phrase. So we know from Rabbi Shmuel Omer that that's one of the Midah Shatar Nidreshes, Mem Klal or Prat, Klal. So the halacha tells us that when does a person pay kefil? These children are speaking about kefil. When does a person pay kefil? He pays kefil as long as it's similar to the prop. What is it? What are the examples of the prop? Shor, chamor, seh, salma. What's the common denominator between an ox and a donkey and a sheep and an article of clothing? So ma prop, the furish davar, a talt of a gufa mamon. It has to be something which is movable in contrast to land. It has to be something which is intrinsically worth something. Afkol davar, a talt of a gufa mamon. This comes to exclude yatsu karkal, she'en a talt. There is no chi of kefil for karka. If a person steals karka, we'll see a little bit later how exactly do you pull off such a stunt of stealing karka. It's hard to break into somebody's house and walk away with his house, but we'll get to that a little bit later. So yatsu a person steals as a geneva on karka, he is not chayef kefil. If a person steals an eved kanani, an eved kanani always has the similar status as karka, so there's no kefil for eved either. This comes to exclude documents. If I steal somebody's documents, even though they are movable, they don't have intrinsic value. And then the Gemara says, this is a side thing, if a person steals from the Beis HaMikdash, you also don't pay kefil, because the Torah says, So it's this Gemara that's going to serve really as our springboard for our discussion for Ashiya this morning. The Gemara requires a pasuk to tell me that there is no kefel on karka. It's clear from the Gemara that not for this pasuk, so we would have concluded that karka is the same as metaltlin. It's a gzeres hakosov that there's no kefel on karka. So we started out by saying that there are two kinds of kefel. There's kefel for the real gano, and then there's kefel for the toei katan of ganav. It would appear from the Gemara that we require a pasuk for both of these cases to tell me that there's no kefel for the real ganav, and there's no kefel for the toei katan of ganav. The implication being that if not for the pasuk, if not for the gzeres hakosov, so I would have said both in the case of the ganav mamish, as well as in the second type of ganav, the toei katan of ganav, there would have been kefel. It's a pasuk. At the end of the day, there is no kefil. At the end of the day, it's a chal par a chal, it's a kos of kach nemer alocha. There is no kefil for karka in either scenario, but it's a chiddush haTorah. I wouldn't have figured it out on my own. There's no other reason, presumably, which is preventing us from applying the principle of kefil to the case of karka. So comes Tosus, the second of the Marim HaKamath, and so the bottom of Samach Bezim with Bezim, and Asko Yatsu Karkos, and Tosus is barred with a very basic question. The Im Toimer is Tosus. Kevan the imati mishvua kedaminu beperek hazav. The halacha happens to be called ein mishvoin alakakos. We know the Torah gives us a whole series of examples, a whole series of cases where there's a shvua that has to be taken. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes there's a din Torah between two people and they then can't figure out what's going on. So sometimes the Torah tells us, take a shvua, swear, if you swear, so then you don't have to pay. So there are unique cases, again, we're not going to go through all the details of the shvuas right now, but there are unique scenarios where the Torah spells out what's called a shvuas haTorah. So in one fell swoop, the Gemara of Mitzia, Nafnan Zayin Rebeis, derives from Sukkim, Ein Ishborn Ala Karkos. There is no shvua d'araisa ever that's taken for a din Torah involving karka. So comes to us and says, once we know this premise above Metzian and Zion and Mabez, that Ein Yishboin Alekakos, ask Tosfos, typically, the Ein Bem Kefel, the Toei Tain is Ganov, to Lo Mishalem Ela B'Shvua, because I've been looking on B'Shemaisin, the Halach of Toei Tain is Ganov, the case that we drew, the illustration that we gave at the very beginning of the Shia, I give you something to watch, then comes time for me to return it, and I deny, I say that it was stolen. I can't just get off scot-free and say it was stolen. I have to swear that it was stolen. And then Adam come and say that I swore falsely, I'm the one who really stole it. That's Toei Tain is Ganav. The premise, the prerequisite of every chi of kefel of Toei Tain is Ganav is the shvua. If you didn't swear, there was no shvua d'araisa, then there is no such thing as Toei Tain is Ganav. Toei Tain is Ganav is assuming not just that you were towing Tainas Ganav, but you were Nishba Tainas Ganav as well. So comes Tosfos with the Kasha. If there's no Shvua and Karak in the first place, so you can't even get into the batter's box. The whole case of Kefel for Toei Tain is Ganav is assuming there was a Shvua, but there is no Shvua ever administered by Beis Din for Karka. So he has to tell us, so why do you need a Pasuk to tell me there's no Kefel for Toei Tain is Ganav of Karka? Typically, it's obvious there's no Kefel because there was no Shvua in the first place. So Tosfos is asking a Kasha in the Chumash. Kasha in the Pasuk, Kasha in the Rebbe Shalom. Why does the Rebbe Shalom give us a pasuk in Chumash to teach me that a klal upon a klal, a whole story holds Rasha, that there's no Toei Tain is Ganav for Karka? Typically, there's no Shvu in the first place. That tells us Kasha. So Tosfos tries to solve this problem. He says, "V'leikel amemer, don't give the following terrors. The itzterich lekofetz v'nishba, maybe the case is as follows. True, Beis Din doesn't administer a shvua for karka, but maybe hachba by askina, the guy jumped and gave the shvua himself. Since nobody asked this shomer turn ganav to swear, but he went ahead in his own volition and he swore. So maybe a shvua that a person volunteers is sufficient to kick in the halacha of Toei Tain is Ganav." So says Tosfos, no, it's not true. So there goes a kama muchach to lo mishalim elam kein Beis Din mashbina. So it's not enough just to have a shvua in order for Toei Tain is Ganav to apply. It has to be a shvua that was administered, that was enforced by Beis Din. So Tosfos is back to square one. If Beis Din will never enforce a shvua for karka, so then how can you ever begin to discuss Toei Tain is Ganav in a case of karka? Typically, that there's no shvua. So says Tosfos, I'm going to solve the problem. says Tosfos, we present it to you that there's no shvu on karka. It's an impossibility. Never, doesn't exist. No such thing. Says Tosfos, that's true 99.9% of the time, but there's an exception to every rule. What's the exception to the rule? Says Tosfos, Yeshlom, it's Itzterich, Lahecha de Nishba, Al Yedei Gilgal. Comes Tosfos and brings us up something from left field, from the Mishnah Masechet Kiddushin of Daf Chavav, called Gilgal Shvua. What in the world is Gilgal Shvua? So the Gemara, Mishnah, the Gemara tells a fascinating concept. Very often you have a din Torah where a person has to swear. Torah says that either you're a shomer or some other reason why the halacha requires you to swear. Sometimes you have a din Torah where the halacha doesn't require you to swear. Let's say, for example, I go up to you and I say, Dr. Belzer, you owe me $100. Dr. Belzer says, I never saw you, I don't know you, why, I don't know you, anything. Dr. Belzer does not have to take a shmua. Maybe midrabbanan he may have to take a shmua, but midaraisa, that's called the kofar hakol, he has to take a shmua. So comes the Gemara and says, what if I happen to have another din Torah with Dr. Belzer? He happens to be my shomer. He happens to be watching something for me, and I could chop him to take a shmua. I could somehow get him, maneuver him that he does have to take a shmua for a different din Torah, a totally different case. Once I got him into Beis Din, once I got his hand on the Bible, I got his hand up, once he's giving shvua, so then there's a special chiddush Torah called Gilgul Shvua. Gilgul literally means like to roll. I could roll another shvua out, and then another shvua, another shvua, another shvua. Once I get him to take the original shvua, so then the sky's the limit. Then the halacha says that min da'araisa, I can be megalgel all shvuas on him as well. You know the world that Chazal get this idea from? It turned out from Sukkim, believe it or not, in Pashas, and also from the din of Sota. When a woman is warned by her husband not to be together with this man, and she violates his warning, so he comes and he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash. So part of the protocol, part of the procedure of Sota, is to make her take a shvua. What's the shvua? He makes her take a shvua that she wasn't mezana. So comes the Torah and says, when he makes her take a shvua, the Kohen actually says the words, he verbalizes the shvua, and the woman says, Amra Isha Amen Amen. She answers Amen to the shvua. That's in fact the source for the whole concept of Amen. The fact that Kol Ona Amen, Kilahoti Shmuel Pivda Amen, the whole institution that we have of Amen comes from a very, very tragic situation. Our answer Amen to Brachas comes out from Sota, believe it or not. So for Amra Isha Amen Amen, you learn out from Sota that when you answer Amen to something, that's Ki'ilu, you said the thing itself. So comes the Torah and says, Amra Isha Amen Amen. So he asks the Gemara in Sota, what do you mean Amra Isha Amen Amen? How many times does she have to say Amen? She only has to say Amen once. So why is she repeating Amen? So says the Gemara, Amen Mi'ishzeh, Amen Mi'ish Acher, Amen Min HaNesuin, Amen Min HaErusin. What does that mean? The husband right now only suspects his wife of being mezana with Reuven. He doesn't suspect her to be mezana with Shimon. If a husband comes to his wife and says, I want you to swear to me that you weren't mezana with Shimon. Well, what kind of time is that? You can't just come to Beis Din and make a person swear. That's like asking a person to swear. I say, I owe you $100. Swear to me. I can't force a person to take a shvua. The case of Sota is one of the cases where the Torah does say you can force a person to take a shvua. If she was miyachet shalakadid, he was mekaneha, and she was nistara, and all the protocol of Sota took place, so then the Torah says, v'shviyasako, and then you can force the woman to take a shvua. But l'chora, at first glance, you can only force her to take a shvua from that case itself, from the case that you're being mekaneha, from the case that you're actually accusing her of being mezana with. What gives you the right to start adding on other things and say, oh, by the way, I think maybe you were mezana not only with Reuven, maybe with Shimon also. I want you to swear that you weren't mezana with Shimon. Or I think that not only were you possibly mezana today, maybe you were mezana 20 years ago. I want you to take a shvua on that. You're throwing the book at her. You're making her take shvuas for things that you have no right. You have no latest to suffer. You have no reason to believe she was really mezana. What right do you have to force her to take a shvua? Comes a turn. It says, V'amra Isha Amen Amen. Once you invoke one shvua, once you get her rolling, so then literally rolling through the kemashmo, you can even goggle at her. Any other possible shvua. Says the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, this is not just a din by Sota, this is a din klali, this is a general rule concerning all of shvuas. Once you get a shvua rolling, so then you can keep on going. Kol shvua shebatar, kol shvua sheba'olam. Once you get the person to take that first shvua. Tosfos, that's the answer to that dilemma here. How can you ever have a case of shvua by karka? How can you ever even dream of talking about towing tana's gana by karka? Says Tosfos, you can. How you did Gilgal? Let's say I had a dintar with you about metaltalin, about movable objects, which I can enforce a shvua. Once I get you to take a shvua on metaltalin, Gilgal shvua kicks in, and I can even force you, not not ask you nicely to volunteer to take a shvuah. I could force you based on shvuah's based in to take a shvuah even on karka. Oh, Abba Zoy, if so, that I got you to take a shvuah now on karka. And it turns out that you lied with the shvuah, and Adam come and catch you and say, you are the one who really stole the object, that would have qualified as kesel. That would have been a classic Tain Tanis Ganov. So Kamash on the Pasuk, there's no Tain Tanis Ganov by kesel. So at the end of the day, what it tells us accomplished for us, Tosus has built up a scenario for us. Tosus is bothered with the kasha. Where's the case? Who, what, where? What's the case of Tain Tanis Ganov by karka? How can we even begin to discuss a chiyuv kesel and no chiyuv kesel? Typically, there's no shvua. So Tosus had to make up a case. Tosus had to come up Yesh Me'ayin and create a case of a shvua in the context of karka. Tosus succeeded. At least they think they succeeded. They succeeded Gilgul shvua. That's going to solve the world's problems. So at Kan Divya Tosus for our purposes. Comes Rabbi Chor Vassaman, his Kovet Shiurim, the seventh of Kama, and says,
I can understand by Sota, it's in front of the same judge, and everything else like that. When a person has two different dinim, there's two different claims against a certain guy, typically it's not in front of the same judge.
Well, he's going to create it in front of the same judge. If the guy's smart, the Tavei is smart. If I make a guy swear now, and then to come 20 years later and take Gilgul Shvua, I don't think I can do that. I think it has to be in the Osama Amos. I think so,
Why can't you just say that there is, like, it's like a Ben Sori, it doesn't have to be that the fact that the Torah has a pasuk is showing us that the dins are related, that the Toin Ton is Ganav. That's all the Torah is trying to tell us. Not necessarily that there is a din by Shvu or by Karka, but those. But
the Gemara is letting out a pasuk that there's no kefil by Toin Ton is Ganav. That was that whole drasha. Yeah. Called by Pasha. So Tosha says, yes. So what do you need a pasuk for? You can't even get to Matzah.
So just to say that the din of kefil, the din is the same. That's all by kefil.
So comes Rabbi Chanan and Shiurim and Baba Kama and Kevish Shiurim and asks the Kasha Tosis and says, L'chora, Tosis asks the wrong Kasha. Says Rabbi Chanan, Tosis asked a very technical question. Like, Tosis says, hey, where's the Shvuah? What happened to the Shvuah? There's no Shvuah. So Tosis says, okay, you want a Shvuah? I'll find you a Shvuah. Make you a Shvuah. Gilgul Shvuah. We'll make up a scenario where there's a Shvuah. Comes Rabbi Chanan and asks, L'chora, the question that Tosis should have asked is much more fundamental, is much more basic to our whole discussion. Toin Tanis Ganav has a prerequisite. What is the prerequisite? A shvuah. But Toin Tanis Ganav has another prerequisite, and that's the fact that you're a shomer. If you're not a shomer, so it's not shaykh to begin to discuss Toin Tanis Ganav. Every Toin Tanis Ganav, a definition, that's what we opened up the shir by saying, every Toin Tanis Ganav, a definition means, I gave you something to watch, you take on that halachic status of a shomer, we have a relationship called mafkin b'shomer, then I claim, I want my object back, you claim it was stolen, you're lying, you take a shvuah, I didn't catch you, that's the procedure to create Toin Tanis Ganav. If you're not a shomer, you can't even get off the ground. If I come up to Morty as a stranger and say, Morty, by the way, I claim I'd like my object back, and you say it was stolen, but who are you? You're not a shomer. I never gave it to you in the first place. The whole thing doesn't get off the ground. Comes Rabbi Chanan and says, the Gemara in Maseches Bav Metzia not only tells us that Einish Boy Nalaka Kos, but the Gemara tells us that all the dinei shomrim don't apply to karka. If I ask you, please watch my house for me, and something happens to the house, you're not mechuyev to take a shvuah. Not only you're not mechuyev to take a shvuah, you're not mechuyev to pay either. Nothing. All the parshas shomrim, all those dinim of parshas shomrim, parshas mishpatim, do not apply to karka. How do we know that? Gzeres hakosuf, ki yitem isha re'eyu kesef al kelim lishmar. Kesef al kelim are examples of objects that are movable. So who are dinami? The whole parsha shmira, all the parsha mishpat of akal mikoko, only applies to metalim and doesn't apply to kakos. So asks Rabbi Chanan, if so, that a shomer is in chal, the shem shomer is in chal on karka, how could you even begin to discuss Toin Tanis Ganav? Tosis asked the kasha. It's a nice kasha, Tosis kasha. Ah, there's no shvuah. You could solve that problem. That's a technical problem. There's no shvuah. We'll give you a shvuah. Says Rabbi Chanan, Gilgul shvuah from today till tomorrow is not going to solve the much more fundamental question that it's not a shomer in the first place. So how do you solve that problem? comes Rabbi Chanan and says, l'chora, you see, from the fact that Tosfos was not bothered with this kasha, l'chora, you see a phenomenal yisoid. It is a real goal. You have to be medayik, not only from the Rishonim's kashas, but you have to be medayik from the questions that the Rishonim didn't ask. Says Rabbi Chanan, from the fact that Tosfos did not ask this question, and asked the weaker of the two questions, you see from here a gevaldig yisoid. Yesh lachkor, fundamental chakira. In this halacha, that the Mishnah tells us above Mitzia that a shomer and karkas potter, he doesn't have to swear, doesn't have to pay nothing. All the dinim of shomer don't apply. What's the nature of that aloha that there's no shmir by karka? Do we say that the whole parsha shmir is not nitfas bechlal? Namely, he doesn't have a shem shomer. The whole institution of shmira doesn't exist by karka. The Torah was only mechadish parshas hashomrim by the Talmud. Well, maybe we could say a little bit of a watered down version. We could say no. The person has a shame shomer. He is as a gavra. He's called a shomer. He has a status of a shomer. Just a small technical hitch. Most shomer have to pay. This particular shomer doesn't have to pay. Most shomer have to swear. This particular shomer doesn't have to swear. But apidin, he's called a shomer. He's a shomer who happens to be potter from dinei shmira. Sounds like semantics. Sounds like tachas. Rabbi, at the end of the day, he's not going to pay. By nafkamina, whether he's as a shem shomer with a ptur, whether he doesn't have a shem shomer altogether, this is going to be the nafkamina. Can you begin to even discuss Toyin Tanis Ganav by karka? So if you hold that he doesn't have a shem shomer, b'chlal, he's mufka from Pasha Shmira, then Rabbi Chanan's kasha is so overwhelming that Tosfos really has the wrong kasha. But if you hold that the shomer in karka has a shem shomer, it just happens to be a quirk that he's a shomer who happens to be potur, so then it makes a lot of sense why the kasha is not such a good kasha. Rabbi Chanan is having a tiny entosis. What do you drink us a cup with shvua? Ask a much more powerful kasha. He's not a shomer. And for Tosfos, he is a shomer. He has a shame shomer. He's a shame shomer with a ptur tashlim. So it sounds like some razzle-dazzle, fancy footwork, some fancy lumdus here. What kind of brisket hakir is this? Is he a shomer with a ptur? He's not a shame shomer altogether. So what's kind of the answer to that question? Is Tosfos right? Is that really true? Is Rabbi Chanan claiming correct that he has a shame shomer without being chayav in the particulars of shmira? So the chora, this seemingly academic, very lomdish chakira, appears to be a machlekes in the Rishonim. So we take a look, next page in the Maamar Kamos. So comes the Rambam in the third of the Maamar Kamos. Rambam Chaschiras Perak Beis Halacha Gimel. The Rambam is talking about a shomer on karka or a shomer on avodah. Avodah have the same status as karka. The Rambam tells us, notwithstanding the fact that the Mishnah of Metzia says that a shomer on karka is potter from tashlumen and a shomer on karka is potter from taking shvua, Yeroeli, says the Rambam. Whenever the Rambam introduces something with the word Yeroeli, so it's a dead giveaway that it doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Rambam's own chiddush, Yeroeli, she'im posha hashomer be'avodim v'chayotzi behem, chayev l'shalit. Let's say I give you an eved to watch, and not that the eved gets stolen, not that something bizarre happens to the eved, but you're posheya. Well, let's say I give you karkas, I give you my house to watch, and you're posheya with the house. You're negligent with the house. So we know that every shomer on the books is chayev for pshia. Even the shemechinam, who's potter on geneva, is chayev on pshia. So says the Rambam, what would it din be? Pshia on karka, or pshia on avadim. Says the Rambam, you're ali, shem posha, shem be avad v'chayotim ben, chayev l'shalim. She'eino potter be avad v'karkos ushtaros, elam b'din geneva v'yaveda u'meitze v'chayotim ben. When do we say that a shomer on karka and avadim and shtaros is potter, that he's potter from geneva v'yaveda v'yaveda stolen or lost, shema yashav v'chinam amatadle v'nignivo avdu yishava, a regular shemichinam has to swear if something is stolen. If he's watching karka of other mishtaris, he doesn't have to take a shvua. Normally, if you're being paid to watch, you have to pay if it was stolen. But you don't have to pay if it's karka or avodim. Says the Rambam, in contrast to Gedeva V'Aveda, Avalim Poshaba Chayev L'Shalem. So now comes the Rambam and says, if you're Peshev, you're negligent, then you have to pay under all circumstances. Says the Rambam with a punchline, what's the difference? Why is that true? Says the Rambam, "Gvaldik Yisoid, Shekol HaPesheya Mazikhu." If I go ahead and I take I burn down your house, mazik your house, actively damage your house, of course I'm chayev. There's no p'tur mazik on karaka. The p'tur is a shomer, it's not chayev. There's no kefal on karaka. Mazik, of course, is chayev on karaka. Says the Rambam, every pesheya is by definition considered to be a mazik. So if I give you, let's say, I ask you to wash my car, and you go ahead and you leave the door wide open and the keys inside, so the reason why you're chayev to pay, says the Rambam, that's not pashas hashomrim. The reason why you're chayev to pay is because you're a mazik, because you damaged. You're above the zik and you're not a mazik. Says the Rambam, in the realm of mazik, there's no distinction between karka and karka. When we're in the realm of pashas hashomrim, the fact that the shomer has to pay for gneva, the aveda, sometimes omsen, depending on the details of the shomer, when we're talking about chiyuv shemira, so then there's a difference between karka and metalta. When we're talking about chiyuv mazik, then there's no difference between karka and metalta.
Are you going to talk about
having still conduct? Oh, we're going to get there. We haven't gotten there yet. We're going to get there. Tell us about that. So comes the Raivit on this Rambam, and says that it's not true. Comes the Raivin and says, if you take a look at the Raivin on that Marmok, it's a four lines up from the bottom. Says the Raivin in the middle of the line, the ain't Pesheya Mazik. The Raivin says the whole you said of the Rambam is not true. Pesheya is not a Mazik. And I'll prove to you, says the Raivin. Shim Hoyakain Pshia Bibailim Lama Potur. It happens to be a halacha that if I'm watching an object of yours and you happen to be working for me, that's what's called Shmir Bibailim. You happen to be working for me at the same time that I'm watching something for you, I'm Potur Lagamre. It's a total complete tour of all the Chiyuvei Shomrim. Shmir Bibailim is Potur. Comes the Gemara of Mitzi and says, not only is Shmir Bibailim Potur, Pshia Bibailim is also Potur. If I'm watching your car for you, you happen to be working for me, and I leave the car wide open with the keys inside, I'm also potter. Yes, the Ravid. If the Rambam is right, that Pesheya is Dina Kimazik, so then what would the din be if you're working for me and I take a sledgehammer and I smash your car? Of course I'm Chayev. Mazik Bebailim is Chayev. Shmir Bebailim is potter. If the Rambam's right, that Kala Pesheya Maziku, even in cases where Shomer is potter, a Pesheya is Chayev, because he has the status of a Mazik, then why does the Gemara Metzia say explicitly that Pesheya Bebailim is potter? Says the Ravid, you see the Rambam's rule, Pesheik was Mazik is not correct. Those two statements are not equal to one another. So Machlek is the Rav and the Raivid. Technical Machlek is Rav and the Raivid. What's the din? Person is Pesheya on Karka. Is he Chayev or not? According to the Rav, he's Chayev. Midino Kimazik. According to the Raivid, he's Potter because the Chiyev Pesheya is basically a Chiyev of Shomrim. But we have to focus on now what was the Raivid's kasha on the Rambam. The raya that the Raivid brought that the Rambam is not correct is from Pshia Bebailim. So the Rambam has to admit to that. The Rambam himself holds that Pshia Bebailim is Potter. So what's the difference between Pshia Bebailim that's Potter and Pshia Bekarka that the Rambam claims is Chayev? What's the fundamental difference between the two? So comes Rabbar Chaber in Sefer B'Chashmuel and quotes from Reb Chaim, from his Rebbe Reb Chaim, the following Yisoid to explain Shita Sarah. Says Reb Chaim, there's a fundamental difference between the Ptur of Karka, the Shomer and Karka is Potur, and the Halacha that Shmir Bebailim is Potur. At face value, they look the same. This is Potur, that's Potur, says Reb Chaim there, Kemerchak Mizrach Lebailim. They're two totally different types of Ptur. Says Reb Chaim, Shmir Bebailim is a hafka'ah from the shame shomer. Means you're not a shomer. Shemir b'bailim means the Torah is mechadish to me, that if somebody's working for you, the bailim are working for you at the same time you're watching the object. Parshas HaShomrim doesn't apply. You're mufka from the entire din shomer, and you as a gavra, not only is it a p'tur tashlumin, but you as a gavra, a mufka, you don't have a shame shomer. Shemir b'bailim is not called shemir by the Torah. Shemir b'karka, says Reb Chaim, not half call from Shmira. Shmir Bekarka is called a Shomer. It's a technical quirk. It just happens to be that you're a Shomer who doesn't have to take a Shavua, and you're a Shomer who doesn't have to pay, and you're a Shomer who doesn't have to go through all the protocol of Parshas HaShomrim. But are you a Shomer? You're 100%. You have a Shame Shomer without a Chiyuve Shomrim. My Nafkamina, Shame Shomer, not a Shame Shomer. Says Reb Chaim, this is all the difference in the world. So the Rambam is this Kvaldiki Yisoid, Kola Peshe Mazik. Anytime a person is negligent, he's a Mazik. Is that true? Anytime I'm negligent, I'm a Mazik? What would the halacha be if I walk by your driveway and I happen to see your car running, I see the door wide open, we don't live in such a nice neighborhood, and it's a very, very good chance someone's going to come and steal your car. I walk right by, I don't do a thing about it. Was I a Peshaya? That's pretty negligent. I was Peshaya on your property. Did I do an Avera? Absolutely. What Avera did I do? I violated the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. Shabbos Aveda doesn't just mean any lost object. It means any time I can prevent a loss to Mamon Chaveray, that's called the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. So I'm a terrible person. I did a terrible Avera. Salam to Behem, Lo Sucha Lesalim. I did a terrible Avera. Am I have to pay? Absolutely not. If I see your lost object and I don't pick it up, I do an Avera, yeah, I have to pay? No. I don't have the chi of mammon is to you. If I pick it up, then I throw it into the, then I'm pashe, then I'm chayav to pay. Because I didn't pick it up, so I'm not the chi of to pay. When the Rambam says, kala pashe maziku, is the Rambam serious? Kala pashe maziku? If pashe is like mazik, why aren't I chayav to pay b'tam mazik? When I walk by a car and I see the keys in it and the car running, I should be chayav to pay if I don't tell you, because I was pashe, I was negligent, and you looked at the sledgehammer and smashed the car. But that's not the halacha. Why is it not the halacha? Because it's chayim. Kala pashe maziku doesn't mean every pashe is a mazik. Kala pashe maziku means if you're a shomer and you're pesheya, then we view that chi of a pshia b'teretz mazik. It's a chiddush haTorah that a shomer shaposha is dinah kimazik, not a regular individual. Regular guy is pesheya b'mamon chaveray. He's bechlal not chayav to pay. He's mazik b'mamon chaveray b'yadayim. He's chayav. He's pesheya b'sheya b'altas. He's not chayav to pay. A shomer shaposha is dinah kimazik. That's what the Rambam is talking about. This is Reb Chaim. Now the Rambam is perfect. When it comes to karka, says the Rambam, a shomer on karka who's pesheya is chayef to pay. You know why? Because a shomer on karka is a shame shomer. He's called the shomer. True, the Torah says he doesn't have to take a shvuah, he doesn't have to pay, he doesn't have to pay, do the normal protocol that a regular shomer has. But bottom line, is he a shame shomer? Is he called the shomer? Is a shame shomer? Says if Chaim is a shame shomer, then we plug in this equation called Peshaya Kimazik, and Peshaya and Karkas Chayiv according to the Rambam. Shmira Bebailim? Shmira Bebailim. I'm not a shomer b'chlal. Shmira Bebailim Zakir B'chayim is a hafkor from the Etzem Adin Shmira. It's a hafkor. The Gavra doesn't have a shame shomer on him. If he's not a shomer, he's like an outsider. He's like a third party. But a third party, it's like the guy walking by someone else's driveway and not telling him that the keys are inside. So says Reb Chaim, that's the answer to the Ravid Tain against the Rambam. The Ravid Tain did that. How can the Rambam say that Kala Peshem Aziku? That's not true, because Harayah Pshir B'Bailim is Potor. And says Reb Chaim, no, there's no Raya, there's no Kash from Pshir B'Bailim. Pshir B'Bailim is different Ptur than the Din of Shmir B'Karka. Shmir B'Karka is not a Hafkor from the Etzem Din Shmira. Shmir B'Bailim is a Hafkor from the Etzem Din Shmira. Rabbi Yisai, what is Reb Chaim telling us? What Gevaldik Yisai is Reb Chaim telling us? B'das HaRabbam. Reb Chaim is telling us that Reb Chaim is telling us a Yisod in the Das HaRabbam, that according to the Rambam, Shmira B'Karka has a shame Shmira. It's not a Hafkor L'Gamre. If it was a Hafkor L'Gamre, you would be taught even for Pshia. It has a shame Shmira. L'Chora, this is exactly what Reb Chanan is telling us, B'das HaTosis as well. Now what was the whole kasha? Tosis raised us a question and asked us, "Hi, there's no shvua, so gavalt hakad and ever be toyin tanis gana bekarka." So Tosis said, "How come I ask you? We found the shvua. Google shvua. Ask Reb Chanan. Forget about Google shvua. He has a much more serious problem. He's not a shomer." Answers Reb Chanan, "No, he is a shomer. He is a shame shomer. It's a shame shomer without chiyuve shomer." So we said, "What does that mean? So sounds like semantics stuff. What do you mean a shame shomer without chiyuve shomer? Who ever heard of such a thing?" Whoever heard of such things, exactly. Reb Chanan was also talking about Reb Chaim. So what Reb Ber is saying with Das the Rambam in Uchas Chirisberg Beis Aloch and Gimel, Reb Chanan is saying with Das the Toysus in Bava Kama of Das Tamach Beis. They're both saying the same Yisoid, that a Shomer and Karka is a Shem Shomer. Therefore, it theoretically could have been Chayev Al Toyin Tanis Gana, but not for the existence cause of Eight Nisham and Kefal and Karka. And according to the Rambam, Lamaisa, there's enough Kaminal Adida from the fact that it is a Shem Shomer, that a Peshaya is Chayev of, not with saying the fact that it's Peshaya Bekar. We'll have to see in the next year, see whether others agree to this and whether this is really the emes of pshat in our Tosfos.